on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria, Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigerians, especially if this is who I call to supremacist Nigerians. They still be among Nigerians than you and I.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show, Don Sobikli.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the ports.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers. It's time for something great on Hard Facts. It's time for Balogun and Broad. If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuels on throw was 4,000.
Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
This is the Realest Business Show on radio. On this show, we talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. And my big question today is, what will the e-Naira mean for businesses? For businesses, the central bank says it will soon pilot a digital currency, the e-Naira. All over the world, there's a conversation about the future of money. And one option is central bank digital currencies or CBDCs. You're going to hear me say that a lot during my conversation with our guest. But it brings us to today's business hard fact. China, the Bahamas, and Switzerland are all testing central bank digital currencies. And they're not alone. Other countries are also planning to test CBDCs. Countries like Brazil, Norway, and the UK. We've also seen failed CBDC tests. Ecuador, for example, said that their CBDC failed because not enough people and businesses adopted it. So what I want to do today is break down the concept of digital currencies, especially CBDCs. How would they work? How would they affect businesses? What are the pros and cons in terms of transaction efficiency and privacy? My guest is a journalist who covers digital currencies for CoinDesk. Her name is Sandali Handagama. Welcome to Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts. And Lagos, you are also a guest on this show. You're a very important guest on this show. What do you think about the CBN's move to start a digital currency? But before we get to your phone call, let's have a conversation with Sandali.
We've got Sandali here. Sandali, thank you so much for agreeing to do this with us.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. So let's just get right into it, right? From a central bank's point of view, what are the possible advantages of a digital currency?
That's a great question. So before we kind of go into why a central bank would want to issue a CBDC, it's good to kind of contextualize why all these central banks are suddenly looking into this. A central bank digital currency, or CBDC, is basically the digital form of a country or region's official currency. For example, it can be the digital version of a U.S. dollar, the Naira, or the Euro. And it's issued by the central bank instead of printing cash, and it's backed by the faith and reserves of the government. So according to the Atlantic Council, there are currently 80-something countries around the world considering a CBDC. That's a lot. And this includes Nigeria as well. And other countries like China, South Korea, UAE, Sweden, Lithuania are all running CBDC tests. And most countries see a CBDC as a supplementary form of money and not something that will totally replace the existing financial infrastructure.
Right.
So as to why a central bank would want to issue a CBDC, an official of the Bank of International Settlements, which is the bank for central banks, recently said that central banks exist to safeguard monetary and financial stability for the public good.
Right.
So central banks should always be looking out for new and better ways to guarantee stability. And he said that central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, can be a tool to pursue this because they can enhance safety and neutrality in digital payments, improve financial inclusion, make way for innovation and openness as well.
Right.
And I can give you a few examples of what this all means because it sounds very generic.
Right.
So for instance, a CBDC can potentially speed up settlement between banks, making the entire banking system more efficient. And I think that's something we all would like to see.
Exactly.
This is because there can be two types of CBDCs. One is a retail CBDC that can be used by, for example, you and me to buy or sell things for daily transactions, essentially. The other is a wholesale CBDC to be used by financial institutions to carry out transactions between themselves. As things work now, settling transactions between banks and central banks, they're not always instantaneous. So there is a need to streamline the way money exchanges hands, starting with the banking system itself. So the Bank of International Settlements views CBDCs as a way to facilitate this change. And another reason is, and you can see from the range of countries considering a CBDC, there are large, small, wealthy countries, developing economies. A digital currency issued and backed by the central bank can potentially promote financial inclusion, which means those without easy access to banks or don't have bank accounts can access funds and financial services with their mobile phones.
Right.
It's basically to make things easier. And this is particularly useful in, for example, crisis situations. The Central Bank of the Bahamas was the first to launch its CBDC called the Sand Dollar in October 2020. And one of the first tests they ran was on one of the islands hit by Hurricane Dorian in 2019. After the hurricane hit, people couldn't access their banks physically, and the Sand Dollar helped the government quickly and directly distribute aid to people affected. And this is something that the United States has been discussing as well. Last year, lawmakers were discussing the merits of a digital dollar when the country was really struggling to deliver COVID-19 stimulus funds to the public in time. So those are some of the reasons why a central bank would consider a CBDC to essentially help streamline financial services.
Now, with most digital currencies, there are transaction fees to fund the processing on the blockchain. In theory or in practice, do the CBDCs also work with processing fees, or will the central bank or the government be expected to subsidize them?
That's a good question and an important one. What are we going to do about these high gas fees? And the thing to remember here is, I think, that although the CBDC as we know it was definitely inspired by Bitcoin, these currencies are quite different from the decentralized cryptocurrencies that we know about.
Right.
For example, if central banks do borrow something from cryptocurrencies, it'll be like one or two technological aspects, or perhaps even none. For example, Bitcoin transactions are all recorded on a distributed digital ledger. This means that there are multiple copies of the transaction history of Bitcoin with anyone anywhere in the world who decides to join the network. This is called a permissionless distributed ledger.
Okay.
Now, a central bank might decide to also use a distributed ledger, just like with crypto, to keep track of CBDC transactions, but it will not be permissionless. Central banks would want to have the power to decide which financial institutions get to manage this ledger, manage all these transactions, and who gets to see them, right?
Right.
So they will most likely opt for a permissioned ledger that allows them to control and contain with access to all these transactions conducted by citizens.
Right.
And then CBDCs are centralized, which means the currency will be issued by a central bank.
Right.
So that it can control the money supply, as it always has been. Whereas Bitcoin, the network is decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
It has a fixed supply of 20 million coins built into a protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have all these miners all over the world creating new Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
The system is designed so that you verify block of small groups of transactions.
Mm-hmm.
You get rewarded with Bitcoin. So there are essentially more transactions, and the blocks are very small, and there are all these transactions waiting to be verified. And you can see how that would influence the fees, the transaction you get. That we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So central banks most likely will not have to deal with that issue. They might choose a distributed ledger for the design of their CBDC, but they might not necessarily need a blockchain verification system, for example.
Mm.
And in fact, last year, central bankers from a number of countries, including Canada and the Netherlands, said that CBDCs might not even need a distributed ledger, and that there are other ways to build a centralized currency issuance system. So fees-wise, I think it might actually be the opposite of what we expect. which is a good thing. CBDC proponents actually point to the fact that theoretically CBDCs can be more cost-efficient than cash, too, because it would be lower transaction fees and transactions than we're actually used to, and at the same time, speed up transactions and settlements between banks. So I hope that's good news.
Well, I mean, I'm going to let my listeners decide that one way or the other. but here's the thing I'm wondering. Are most CBDCs built on proprietary blockchains or third party? And if third party, are they usually open source?
That's a really, really important thing to consider. And again, it depends, I think, on the technology each country or institution chooses to run with.
I see.
But, for example, the former head of China's Digital Yuan project, Yao Qin, recently said that, in theory, a digital yuan or digital dollar could fit on Ethereum's network or that of the Facebook-backed Diem, which is happening. And that would mean central banks could provide CBDCs directly to users without needing intermediaries. But I think that's a bit too far into the future.
Right.
For now, I imagine central banks are experimenting with different ways of designing and issuing a CBDC.
Right.
With different blockchains or maybe without blockchains. But I imagine if central banks do use blockchain for their CBDCs, they would opt for a proprietary blockchain because so that they have more flexibility and control.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a little bit up in the air as they're considering different ways of doing this
at this time. Are they usually open source?
I think for experimentation, they continue saying open source. But for the actual issuance, it depends. And not enough countries have issued one for us to kind of have a consensus right now, I think.
Okay. Now, how could the CBDC affect remittances? For countries like Nigeria, remittances are a huge part of our IGR, of our revenue, right? And they make up a huge part of the GDP. So how could the CBDC affect remittances?
That's absolutely true. And that is, I think, one of the most exciting aspects of issuing a CBDC, a government-issued digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
Since they promise faster and cheaper transactions and settlements, the hope is that they will eventually make remittances, which are currently, as you and I know, slow, expensive, complicated. And what it needs to be to match the growing demand for these transfers. But again, it's a little bit far into the future of CBDCs, as they are right now, just because one country launches a CBDC doesn't mean that automatically transfers will get easier. Other countries have to accept this currency, and it's digital ID system, it's legitimacy. And there are all these things to consider. The Bank of International Settlements is currently working with central banks in four different countries, including Australia, Malaysia, and South Africa, to test the efficacy of wholesale central bank digital currencies in cross-border payments and settlements. And they're working on prototype platforms that can eventually support international settlements with digital currencies issued by multiple central banks. That's sort of the future, right? You have to be able to quickly go between CBDCs from different countries if you are to make these transactions faster. And so in theory, everything sounds promising, and banks around the world are in fact experimenting with the technology, but there are a lot of technical and security risks central banks need to consider before we get to a working model of that.
What are some of these risks that you talk about?
Well, it depends. I think the thing that central banks would be most concerned about could be currency substitution. I mean, anyone will be able to replace one currency with another. So you need a really solid digital ID system in place that is interoperable between countries. So if I want to send you money in a different country, then banks need to quickly be able to verify my identity versus yours and make sure the transaction is legitimate. And if all of this is going to be digital, then they have to build that infrastructure to match the volume of transactions and the size and all these different things. So the goal of central banks is to promise you that security and stability. So to get to a place where they are able to do this, I think they need to do a lot of work. So yes.
So essentially, good luck.
You don't want to end up in some anti-money laundering investigation because you want to get money home.
But how much visibility over transactions could a CBDC theoretically give a central bank or a tax agency?
That's the question of the year. There's currently a lot of concern over how much control China's government might seek to have over its citizens' financial data.
Right.
And this is where this kind of question came up. How much visibility will governments have if they start issuing CBDCs? Will they know what I'm buying? Will they know what I'm spending on? Essentially cash would... If CBDCs were to completely replace financial as we know.
Especially with repressive governments, it is a valid concern with repressive governments.
Absolutely. Because the central bank there has said it will guarantee levels of privacy that we enjoy with cash.
Mm-hmm.
But it has also said that it will retain the ability to track down crypto users if it suspects illegal activity,
like
money laundering.
Right.
But what essentially it means is the government there will most likely have total visibility of all transactions,
mm-hmm.
because they will have access to the ledger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically showing the government how its citizens spend money.
Mm-hmm.
So can this be used as a surveillance tool?
Yeah.
The general concern right now is that it can and it will be. And that's the concern. But meanwhile, CBDC discussions over in the U.S. revolve around trying to uphold the privacy of citizens first and foremost, which is, I think, one thing that might be slowing down the progress of the digital dollar. For instance, at financial hearings, lawmakers have repeatedly asked industry experts how a CBDC might threaten citizens' privacy and what design elements could be used to ensure privacy.
Right,
and like how do you strike the right balance?
Right.
So yeah, it's definitely an interesting question. And like you said, completely justified to have these concerns. And yes, and these are problems that central banks around the world will have to solve. And if citizens aren't convinced that this is something that would benefit them, that would ensure their security and privacy, then they have a right to argue against
it. Now, if a CBDC isn't run on a decentralized ledger, how much control over people's or companies' bank balances would it have?
I think the idea is that in terms of the user experience, a CBDC account will hopefully just look like our typical online banking account.
Right.
So it'll just be like an app so that it's your money coming directly to you from the central bank, backed by the central bank. And hopefully without the wait times and crazy tax fees and, you know, hopefully with higher liquidity.
Right.
But as I said earlier, with or without CBDCs, the central bank's role will not change. It has to be able to control the money supply and the financial institutions that have access to this ledger.
Right.
So in the same way that banks currently keep our personal information and use it to verify transactions, I think a CBDC system will do the same, and you will most likely have a digital ID. If your bank account is attached to some illegal activity, as we discussed, the government, even now, can ask your bank
to freeze your account. Yeah.
With CBDCs, I imagine that won't change because it'll work in much in the same way. The concern is how much the government will be able to exercise its power at will and how much access it will have to our private information and spending patterns. And the ideal CBDC would be something that preserves privacy and propel financial services into the future, something that it desperately needs. So hopefully your autonomy over your money will very much be similar to what you already have.
What you're currently enjoying.
Yes, the CBDC is just a digital version of the Naira, of the dollar.
Yeah.
It's not very different.
I think that's a good place to draw the curtains here. I'm interested to hear what Lagos thinks about what we've talked about so far. But thank you so much, Sandeni Handagama, for talking to us on Hard Facts today on Balogun Abroad. Sandeni is a journalist at CoinDex. She covers regulation. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call, if you are a woman, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. What do you think about some of the points that Sandeni has made on the show this evening? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Ajay. I'm calling from the latter.
Welcome, Ajay. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to ask a question. If you can pass through to the person you brought in.
Okay.
Concerning there is no network if I'm in a rural area, would I be able to access the
e-naira? Okay. If there's no network in a rural area, can you access it? I wish I still had Sandali here. Unfortunately, she's not. That conversation was over the phone. But thank you for calling. Perhaps our second guest will be able to answer that question, because after the break, we will have a second guest. Our second guest is a policy analyst and a product management executive. He's also a friend of the show, and he has a lot of knowledge about these sort of things. So hopefully he'll be able to answer that question. If you just tuned in, Lagos, you're still listening to Balogun and Broad on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM. We're talking about the e-Naira, the central bank digital currency that will launch on October 1st. In the first 25 minutes of this show, we spoke with Sandali Handagama from CoinDesk. She broke down what CBDCs are and how they work. Now we're going to get some context of how they will work regarding Nigeria, and Chief will handle that question for me when we come back from this commercial break. So don't go away. 0700-993-993-993. That's the question, the number to call with your questions, as well as 01465-7190. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts. You're listening to Balogun and Broad. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Lagos, you're still listening to Balogun and Broad on 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info. We're talking about the e-Naira, the central bank digital currency that will launch on October 1st. Now, like I said, during the first half, we spoke with Sandali Handagama from CoinDesk. She broke down the CBDC's nature. She told us what they are. She told us how they work. Now, let's get more information. Let's get into the context for Nigeria. My second guest is a friend of the show. He's a policy analyst. He's a product management executive. And in his product management career, he's actually built quite a few fintech products. Chief Andy Obofuribo, welcome back to Hard Facts.
Thanks for having me back, Sandra.
Hi, Lagos. If you have questions, we'll also like to hear them. Direct them to the chief. He'll be glad to answer. You have questions about the e-Naira. Do you support the move for a central bank digital currency? All of those questions, give us a call and ask. Women, call us on 01465-7190. And men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Chief, before we get into my questions, Someone already asked if they could access it without network in rural areas. That was one of the questions. Will there be? Can you access these things without a network? Will it work in rural areas? That was their question.
Okay, it's a good question, and the answer is it needs a network. It needs internet connection for you to access the internet, or maybe over the, you know, data connection. So definitely, if there's no network, you won't be able to make a transaction. Now, that does not mean that you can't do it in rural areas. Because when we had the conversation about electronic transfer of results, we had INEC come out to say, all over Nigeria and 90% of the country, you have internet connectivity. So maybe that myth that we have so many rural areas that don't have internet connectivity, maybe that myth needs to die. I'm sure there's still some, but it's not as widespread as we want to make it sound.
Okay, let's talk specifics now. Will businesses have to pay to use the e-Naira? I'm talking about transaction fees here.
The short answer is no.
Okay.
So the CBN is indicating that they will absorb the costs, because essentially it's going to be run on a blockchain, a ledger that the CBN controls.
Mm-hmm.
Hyperledger Fabric blockchain is the one that they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, it's like your previous guest was saying, Sandali, you don't have external people mining the coin. Basically, it's all being run by the CBN on the CBN's own ledger, and so they can afford to absorb the costs. Now, what that doesn't say is what happens when maybe as a bank, say, you know how, for instance, banks are charging us stamp duty, for example.
Mm.
So it's very possible that a state government or a federal government will now impose a stamp duty on in-era transactions, for example.
Mm.
So that has not been clarified.
Okay.
So the actual transaction on the e-naira network gone will not attract any charges.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, will the government now later come and impose some sort of tax on that?
Mm. You know, the central bank has said every merchant will be required to accept payments in e-naira. Currently, you have a lot of merchants who don't even accept POS or regular transfer safe. You know, it's when I moved to Lagos and everybody had a POS, including the Bole seller, I was very impressed because coming from Port Harcourt, you're asking somebody for POS, they're looking at you like, are you mad? You know?
Do you think this is central bank?
Do you understand? You know, and you go to big restaurants and they're like, POS, like, no, madam, we only use cash here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how realistic or enforceable is this directive?
Impossible. You're taking us back to your victory story about...
Oh, you were listening.
Oh, yeah. I was in traffic. Yeah, so, it's a good question. I think the point here is adoption will not be immediate and it will not be overnight and it cannot be everywhere at once.
Okay.
It's unrealistic to think so. Even the CBN is calling it a pilot, right?
Mm.
What's happening on October 1st is supposed to be a pilot.
Right.
Because it's going to be the banks who first start issuing the e-naira.
Mm-hmm.
They receive the e-naira from the CBN. That's the first leg.
Right.
Then the second leg is that the banks start issuing e-naira to vendors. So now you have to ask yourself, all the sensitization that will have to go into getting all these merchants, vendors, and different businesses to understand the e-naira, to open their wallets and do all of that, that can't be overnight, you know? So you're going to need to give a very long window for people to adopt this thing. And that's what we've seen in other countries. You mentioned at the top of your show, we've seen it in different places like the Bahamas and China. Everywhere we turn, we see that digital currencies, central bank digital currencies, are rolled out gradually in a pilot form so that sensitization can spread.
Mm.
And that's even in other countries. Let's talk of a country like Nigeria, where, like you said, other fintech solutions have not been universally adopted yet. We can expect and we should expect a lag. I doubt that the CBN, I should hope, let me not say I doubt, I hope the CBN will not go about like penalizing people who don't adopt this right away.
Okay, walk us through how using the e-naira would work. Will merchants and customers need to have an app? Will it be USSD? Will it be equal to the naira? Does that mean if I have plenty e-naira, I'm now very rich and I don't need to worry about, you know, naira being 5/13 to the dollar? How will it work?
Okay. So, first and foremost, let me answer the most important question first.
Mm.
The e-naira is the naira.
Oh.
Yeah, yes. You don't have any. It's as valuable as the naira,
okay.
Our beautiful naira.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Okay.
Know that and know peace.
Okay.
Now, what's the difference? The difference is that while naira notes are being printed somewhere and every bank account you have is actually tied to the naira, there will never be, or maybe there won't be, let me just say, any physical e-naira notes or coins or anything of that nature.
Mm.
It's the CBN will issue it and, you know, mint it virtually online.
Okay.
So it will be on this, their ledger, the blockchain ledger that the CBN will run, which is basically a database. Let's just call it simply that, a computer database somewhere. And that database, for every Nigerian who owns e-naira, they will have their, you know, account name there and account number on that database and how much e-naira they own. And anytime you want to do a transaction, if I want to send you, no, if you want to send me money, I think let me speak it into existence. If you want to send me money now, you will, like you said, you need a wallet on your phone or on your laptop or whatever. You open your wallet and you make that transaction. And we don't know, we have not yet been told the mechanics of how those transactions will work.
Okay.
So, but we've heard the CBN say that they are going to open it up to banks and also to maybe fintech companies, payment service providers.
Okay.
So what that means to me is we're going to have the possibility probably of USSD and apps. But either way, you use your device to say send and the 500,000 or okay, let me not be greedy, 50,000 and
wait, is this my imaginary 50,000 that we're using to do this thing?
I'm claiming it. So that's your imaginary 50,000 The network, your phone will tell the network, over the network, tell the database, the inner database in CBN, please send this money to Andy. The CBN's database will now delete 50,000 from your account and add it to my own. And then I will now get that alert on my own wallet. And that means now it's now mine. So the question again, it comes down to how will I access it? The wallet is attached to the database. The question is, how will I interact with the wallet? Like I said, maybe it's with apps, maybe it's with USSD codes that will be given to us by the payment service provider. That level of detail the CBN has not yet clarified for us, and that's interesting because this is supposed to all go online in a week.
What about transaction limits?
So yes, there's three transaction limits that we've heard of because this is supposed to be for everybody. So you don't even need a bank account to run eNaira, right? So you don't even need a BVN to run eNaira. If you have your NIN, then, you know, your NIN is connected to a phone number, right? This whole NIN SIM integration. If your NIN is connected, is integrated to a phone number, the main phone number is connected to, that phone number can now have its own eNaira wallet. And that eNaira wallet is connected to you as a person. And if under that criteria, you have a limit of 50,000 naira daily of transactions. Now, if you've gone a step further and you've gotten a BVN, then you have a higher transaction rate, I believe it's about 500,000 or so. Then if you have a BVN and a bank account, then it's 1 million naira daily transactions.
I see. All right, Lagos, join the conversation. I see the phone lines blue, all of it. So let's hear the questions you have for the good chief. 0700-993-993-993. What questions do you have for Chief Andy about the eNaira? The CBN has said that they picked BIT due to technical capacity. Chief will be talking to us about that after I take a few of your thoughts. Do you support the move for a central bank digital currency? 99.3. Hello.
Hi, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
This is Remy.
Hi, Remy.
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Yeah. Good evening, Chief. My question is this. I have three bank accounts. If I'm to pay, have the eNaira wallet, over time, would bank probably convert those accounts to e-wallet, or I'm still going to have those three commercial bank accounts, then e-wallet as well too with banks? I'm a bit confused, kind of. I don't know if you get my question.
Chief, did you get his question?
Yes, I get his point. So it's basically, are his different accounts going to be merged? If the bank is giving him an eNaira wallet, but that bank is also giving him normal, electronic banking, mobile banking, and he has that's connected to his normal account, his normal Naira, will there eventually be some sort of merger of the two? Now, the short answer to that is not in the near future.
Okay.
The central bank has been very clear that it wants to keep eNaira separate from Naira in terms of how the banks handle it. Now, the difference is that, or rather, the similarity is that the same thing that 10 Naira can buy you in the market, 10 eNaira can buy you as well. So you don't charge more in eNaira or less in eNaira than you do in normal physical Naira. That's the parity. But apart from that parity, the wallet, the accounts handling them are going to be kept separate.
Okay. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, what's your name?
My name is Demola.
Welcome, Demola.
Yeah, so, I mean, interesting to know that we can actually do something great like this in this country. Yeah, the idea, the technology is not new.
Yeah,
but the problem we always have is, what is the intent behind this? And this is where we have a big problem.
Okay.
Right? We have had policies change. We have had development in different parishes. And then you wonder, what prompted these changes? And this is why we don't have sustainable developmental plans in this country today. I mean, just my bit today is just when our leaders think about improvement in policies, improvement in the way we do things generally, what they should be bothered about is the reason behind it. Because we all know, I mean, a good percentage of Nigerians, I'm sure, know that the reason behind this is not something to actually bother about, right? If they were going to do this for the right reasons, I mean, great, super great idea, and we would be happy. But in the end, I mean, another government will come and then we really can imagine what happens afterwards. I mean, God bless Nigeria in all of this.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Samuel and then we'll come back to the chief because we're out of time. Hi, Samuel.
Sandra.
Thanks for calling.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Chief, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, please, this is my question.
Mm.
You know other blockchains like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and et cetera, they mine the coin. Is CBN going to be mining the coin for those who join the e-Naira?
Okay. All right, Samuel, thank you very much for calling. So, Chief, you've got two questions, but I think you should start with the last question and then move to the first one.
Yeah, CBN is going to be doing all the mining here. No third parties can mine. That's the difference. That's what you see in all central bank digital currencies. So the CBN mines it. That's why they don't need transaction fees, like Sandra Lee explained earlier. I didn't quite catch the first question from the first caller.
Unfortunately, we have about 40 seconds and then we have to take a break. But we have this comment here from Ugochukwu, who is Nikorodu, who says, will the currency's purchasing power be directly proportional to the traditional Naira? Well, you've already answered that question. What's the benefit of this currency to Nigerians beyond ordinary benefits of regular e-banking? That's also another question. It feels like this is a part two coming. I don't know. What do you think, Chief? Can we drag you back next week for a part two?
I'll be glad to show up here.
Okay, great. Lagos, that's all the time I have. But be here for more great stuff coming up on 99.3 Nigeria.